How many of you have a love-hate relationship with a treadmill? Anybody with me on that? Yeah. Some of you are like, yeah, that thing I hang my clothes on at home. I have a love-hate relationship. But what keeps me on the treadmill when I think, you know, half a mile is enough. What keeps me going for 2 or 3 miles is blood pressure, honestly. I don't really battle with blood pressure, don't take high blood pressure medicine, thankfully, but I don't want to. And so I want to keep my heart strong. And one of the ways that they say that you keep your heart strong is cardio work, right? And we're talking about the heart. We've been talking about having a heart scan and checking out our hearts from the very first Sunday that we started this series. Next Sunday, we might have the most important message of the whole entire series will be next Sunday. And so I hope you'll be here for that. But we're talking about scanning our hearts. We're talking about examining our hearts. We're talking today about keeping our heart strong. And to do that, we have to stay on the treadmill. You can't just look at the treadmill, right? You can't just get on it and get right back off. You have to stay with it. You have to keep going. Sometimes you have to just push through. And being faithful in the little things is a big thing. Right? Just that constant keeping, moving. Not just one time, but every time. And in Scripture, we're told that even small faith, if you'll activate it, if you'll activate today your small faith, because there could be somebody here that says, I just don't think I have great faith, Craig. You might have great faith, and I read about great faith in the Bible, but I don't think I have that great of faith. I want you to know Jesus spoke some very encouraging words about small faith. You ready? Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus says this, I tell you the truth, and how many know when Jesus speaks, it is the truth. If you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be what? Impossible. Small can move mountains, Jesus said. He says, if you'll say, even with the small. So it's not important that you have the small. It's important that you say. It's important that you activate. It's important that you move, that you keep moving forward, because small, faithful actions are equal to significant change. I heard recently, matter of fact, I've heard this a couple of times, so I checked ChatGPT this week just to see. I wanted to make sure I said it right. 1 hour, if you just invest an hour at a time, in 10,000 hours, you could be a world expert in anything. And if you didn't want to be an expert, if you just wanted to be good at it, it would take a lot less hours than that. But how many times do we say, well, I wish I could do that. I wish I knew how to do that. I do that all the time. I say, well, I wish I knew how to do that. But the reality is, I don't wish it enough. Because if I did, I could invest in it And eventually, I could become even an expert at that topic. You know, a repeated workout causes somebody to be fit. You know, we'll look at somebody and we'll say, oh, they're so fit. Well, they didn't wake up like that, right? That's after all the work. Or a repeated phone call, repeated texting can lead to a deeper friendship. But when you don't stay connected to people, we drift. Or consistently saving a dollar. Just a dollar here and a dollar there and you know, even a dollar a day. And you think about all the hundreds of dollars that you could save if you just watch things. You could have a savings. Or finishing one class at a time, and then in a matter of time, you'll have a degree that you didn't have before. Yeah, and lately I've been hearing about people who have quit church. That they've quit church because somebody offended them. Somebody offended me, and so I'm just not going back to church. Or I've even known about people that I've heard about recently that quit God because God didn't do what they wanted him to do when they wanted him to do it. And I wonder how many people today really aren't looking for God, they're looking for a genie. You know, I wonder how many people are wanting a God that they can just kind of rub the bottle, you know, and get maybe three wishes today. And that God would grant those wishes. And it's somehow, I don't know how, maybe a lack of reading the Bible or only reading certain parts, but somehow some people seem to have in mind that the Christian life is an easy life. That if you become a Christian, if you declare Jesus as your Savior, your life's going to be a piece of cake. Your life's going to be easy. And today, here's where I want to get to, is it's easy to feel like quitting, but it's a different matter to actually quit. Because I would hope all of us could admit here today that we've felt like quitting before. Anybody ever feel like quitting before? Okay, next week we'll be on lying, right? Because evidently we need that message, okay? But, you know, I don't know about you, but there's times where I don't want to save more money. I want to spend some money. There's times when I don't want to work out. I don't want to go 3 miles on that treadmill. I don't even want to get on the thing. There's been times in my life when I was tired of investing in a relationship. When I'm tired of investing in that, and I've had some relationships, probably I'm the only person in here, but I've invested in some relationships. I didn't feel like I was getting the same amount or even close back. But if we'll be faithful over time, we'll reap a reward. See, and it'll have an impact on us and even the people around us. And let me just mention one example is in our Life Builders. We just introduced this a week or two ago, our Life Builders campaign for this year. And the local missions, the global missions, the Crossroads projects, the next generation, such as the winter camp that the students are going on. We're helping to sponsor that so that parents can afford to send their kids there, you're welcome, right? And so your money invested in Life Builders. And listen, this is how this thing works mostly. Is we don't have people, for the most part, who are writing a $1,000 check to Life Builders. Mostly how this, all these things in this brochure that I encourage you to pick one up on your way out today if you didn't already get one. It happens by the $10 a week people. Okay? That's really the backbone of everything that's involved in these projects. And it's because of this principle that our little offerings compound over time. And in Luke chapter 16, verse 10, Jesus said like this, if you're faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in large ones. So here's the added plus, is God's watching. He's actually looking. He's not, you know, busy staring at the sun. He's not busy creating new things out there. He's busy watching over his creation, us. And he's watching for faithfulness. As a matter of fact, did you know what he's going to say when you get to heaven? Well done, good end. Yeah, see, you guys have heard that one, haven't you? Faithful servant. He's rewarding faithfulness. In other words, it's not, wow, you gave $2 million. No, because that person maybe could have given five. What he's going to reward is faithfulness. You know, like the $10 a week people to Life Builders, that kind of thing. Just steady in the marriage, steady at parenting, steady at faithful serving. See, how do you get to know the Bible? You read it every day. And I'm getting a little nostalgic right now because we're getting ready to enter into our 25th year as a church, okay? Yeah. Come April, Easter, 25 years ago, this Easter, we started in the Shiloh Crossing Cinema. And so I'm getting a little nostalgic because I'm thinking back, looking back, and thinking about 25 years. Whoa, that's a chunk. That's a chunk of my life. That's amazing, you know, that we moved here 25 years ago and got ready to start this church. And then I say, and look what the Lord has done, you know. And here's the thing, is here's how he did it. A week at a time. He did it a week at a time as we're just faithful. I'll tell you why I'm still the pastor of this church. I didn't quit. Okay, that's as spiritual as it gets in some regards. I'll be honest, in 25 years, I've felt like quitting at times. There's been times when I heard a voice to quit. But instead of listening to that voice, I just got back up again and just kept going. And that's what I'm talking about today. We need more Christians in America, in our world, who just won't quit, who won't give up, who won't quit meeting together, who won't quit reading the Bible, who won't quit their faith, and won't quit on God because God didn't do what I wanted him to do, exactly how I wanted him to do it. I was very specific. I told him everything. All he had to do was push go. But I love talking to people. I don't know about you, but I love talking to people who have been in it a while. You know, we go out to dinner every little bit, every so often, with my pastor, who's 100 years old. This July, he'll be 101. And that's a long time. 100 years ago, what was it like? How did we live without cell phones and all the stuff, you know? I mean, there was so much that didn't exist 100 years ago. And I love hearing the stories about how he didn't quit. And how I would just pray and feel like, I think the Lord wants me to do this, so I'm just going to do it. And I just wonder today, how many of you, that's your life story. I hope it is. Here's what I hope for you. That you pray, you read the word, God speaks to you about something. And then here's the next huge and important part, and this is the part that you play. You just do it. And you just put one foot in front of the other. Even though it seems like a huge thing, like relocating a church for him and buying property where there were no sewer lines. And you discover, after you're buying it, how much it's going to cost to put the sewer lines in. And then you don't even know if they're going to give you permission to do it. But, you know, you don't get the results. You don't get the results on your first workout. You know, you don't go to the gym and come home and say, my gosh, I think I grew an inch on my biceps today. No, you did not, right? Or the first day on a diet, and you say, I don't know that I lost any weight. Well, how many know you probably don't on the first day, but you don't quit. Because if you'll keep going to the gym, if you'll keep cutting back your calories, if you'll keep watching it, if you'll keep putting money in the bank, if you'll just keep going, it will compound. And I'm talking about today, if you'll just stay faithful to God in your life, it will compound in your heart. It'll strengthen your heart. Now, I want to show you an example from the Old Testament. Many of you know this guy, Joshua. In Joshua chapter 6, this follows God saying to Joshua, hey, Moses is dead, but how I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. So you don't have to fear. That's all in chapter 1. So now they're at Jericho, the very first city that they're going to have to conquer to go into the promised land. Now again, it's the promised land. God said, I will give it to you. It is yours. Now watch this. Verse 1, chapter 6. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. So that's actually a testimony, because their faithfulness to God up to this point has gotten them a reputation. And no one went in and no one went out, no one came in. And then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. No, I don't see that, right? Because it hadn't happened yet. But see, you serve a God who knows tomorrow just as easily as he knows today. And he knows 5 years from now. And he knew 25 years ago, you're going to start that church in the movie theater, but you're not going to stay there. And I've got something for you. And he says, see, I've delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men and do this for 6 days. have seven priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the seventh day, march around the city seven times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in. I want you to announce to the person next to you, you gotta have grit. Go ahead, tell them, you gotta have grit. Now tell your second choice, you got to have grit too, all right? You got to have grit too. Here's grit: perseverance toward a goal despite difficult obstacles. So in spite of the difficult obstacles, I'm going to persevere and I'm going to go through it. And so today I want to talk to you about grit. And here's four things. And the good news of this is you can acquire this. Okay? You don't have to be overly gifted or anything to get these four things. You can just put these into your life. Here they are: grit, grace, resilience, integrity, and teachability. All of those will build grit in your life. Let's pull them apart. Grace. You gotta have grace. And when I talk about grace, I'm not talking about God's grace. I'm talking about God's grace working in you, that you have grace for yourself. Because how many of us can beat up on ourselves and say, you know what, I'm just not good at this. I'm not gonna go to the gym anymore. Or I just can't lose weight, and so therefore, I'm going to eat donuts. Or this marriage is just not going to turn around, so I quit today. Or I'm just not good at saving money, so I'm just not going to worry about it. You know, you got to have grace for yourself, because guess what? You're human. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to not feel worthy. Everyone stumbles. We looked at that last week. We all missed the mark. God said in the midst of that, His grace is sufficient. Paul, the great apostle Paul, says, I prayed three times for God to remove this thorn from me. And here he is, the great apostle Paul, and he says, I asked the Lord three times to take it away. And here's God's answer. 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace, Paul, is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. In other words, I'm going to work through your weakness. I'm going to work through your failures. See, failing's not final unless you make it so. Some of the greatest people in the world have failed multiple times. And you talk to them, they'll tell you about their failures. But what happens is they don't quit. So stop beating yourself up. Stop quitting. I almost said stop stopping. Because there's always a problem standing between you and your promise. There's always a Jericho. Isn't that the truth? Because, you know, somebody says, hey, this diet is so easy till you get on it, right? Then you're like, what were they talking about? They must have been smoking something because this is not easy. Or this workout will make the biggest difference in your life. It's not that hard. It's like, then it's probably not going to work. Because a walled city is always in the way and it feels impossible. And at those moments, just like the Israelites, you can feel like we're not enough. We're not going to be enough. But I want to challenge you today to change your perspective, because it's not that you're enough, it's your God is enough, all right? Your God is enough. And if there's a promise that God has put within you, if he says start a church in Avon, Indiana, then you just obey him and he'll make a way even where there seems to be no way. It'll happen. No walled city can stop it. No demon, no devil, no one can stop God's promise from happening, except if you quit. And here's the R, is resilience. You need to have resilience. And I mean, when you think about these people, God says, march around the city. Okay, and then when do we shoot? You're not going to shoot. You're just going to walk around. We're just going to walk around. Okay, and then the guy goes home. The soldier goes home. Honey, what'd you do today? Well, we walked. Where'd you walk? Did you attack him? No, we just walked. And then the next day you come home. Honey, what'd you do today? Well, we walked around again. And every day, it's the same thing. And listen, there's no indicator in Scripture that a crack started to form. There's no indicator that a few chunks of the wall started falling off. And this encouraged everyone to keep going. No, from all appearances in Scripture, what it looks like is nothing changed day after day after day. And on the seventh day, seven times around, it still didn't change until that seventh time and until God says, shout. And you may be here today and you say, Craig, I've been at this a long time. I've been praying for healing for a long time. I've been praying for that job promotion and for God to help me. I need to be making more money, and he knows that. And I've been praying for that. And I've been putting in applications after applications. I'm not like I'm not doing anything. Or these bills that I thought I was going to get on top of, and then another one came along, and I forgot all about. And I just feel like quitting. Listen, I've got scripture for you. Galatians 6:9. Maybe this is a prescription for you. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the, everybody say proper time. Proper time, we will reap a harvest. How? If we do not give up. Yeah. You just don't give up. You don't quit on the fifth day. You don't quit on day six. You don't stop on day seven. You just keep marching. You just keep putting one foot in front of the other. And you just keep going. I heard a story one time. It was a story about this donkey. It got loose and fell down into this pit. And it was a deep pit. And so everybody was looking, how are we going to get that donkey out of there? And ultimately they said, well, it's so narrow and everything. I just don't know how. And finally they just said, you know what? We just need to bury the donkey. It's actually probably the most humane thing to do at this point. And so they started getting shovels and throwing the dirt in there. And every time that dirt would come down and hit on that donkey's back, it'd shake. And then step up. And then they throw more dirt in and land on it and shake it off and step up. And they just kept doing that and doing that and doing that and doing that. And finally, they could see the donkey's head coming up. And they just kept doing it, and the donkey just keeps shaking it off and stepping up till ultimately the donkey walked out of the pit under its own power. And what I want to say today is when the devil's trying to bury you, when he's trying to discourage you, when he's throwing stuff on you, just shake it off today and step up into all that God has for you. Come on, give God a praise. You're too close to quit. Just keep making progress toward the promise. And you know, it is hard when what God says doesn't match what we see. How many know that? When God says this city is yours, well, it doesn't look like it. Looks like a hard thing to do. But you go ahead and keep going, because Galatians says you don't quit, because the harvest is going to come. It's just a matter of time. In other words, when your kids that you've been praying for and you've been doing your best to raise them in the ways of God and all, but they're all wild. They're wild. They're like, you don't know, maybe we need to cast devils out of them. I'm not sure. You know, they're just so crazy. And you're about ready to pull your hair out. Or maybe you have health struggles and you get over one thing and then another thing hits. Is there anybody here like that? Where it's like, oh, seriously? Now this. Or you just knew that you would not be single now. That by now, you would have found your person. And you've prayed, hello, God. I'm right here. Hendricks County, Indiana, USA. But there's no promises. Or you've been believing that God would prosper you and bless you and help you to get over the hurdle financially, and yet you still struggle. Here's what happens during those times. It's so huge, it's so important to stay on the treadmill, to stay going, because it will strengthen your heart. How many know when somebody talks to you and asks you about your life, it's often the hard times that you talk about? Have you noticed that? Just ask somebody. Say, hey, what about your marriage? You've been married, you know, for 40 years now. Tell us about it. They won't tell you, well, we went to Disney World. No. They'll say, well, there was that time we about split up. There was that time where the pressure was intense. There was that time where we had so much debt that we looked at each other and didn't know how we were going to overcome. There was that time when she had that disease and we were just afraid and we were hanging on. That's what happens. See, in other words, keep your eyes on the harvest, not what it looks like now. It may only look like a seed now, but it'll turn into a harvest. Here's the next one, integrity. John Maxwell, I think it was, who said, if you have integrity, nothing else matters. And if you don't have integrity, nothing else matters. In other words, do it God's way. You know, the people of Israel, they could have said, well, that just does not sound like a great battle plan. March around the city. Who does that? Who does that? That is not a wise strategy, in my opinion. Who does that? But here's what happens. It is God will say, tithe. Give 10% to me. And not just 10%, but give me the first 10%. And you think, well, that sounds crazy. My budget's already tight. Now I'm going to give the top 10. Just slice that off before I even get it home and give it to God. That just does not make sense. Or God says, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to keep sexually pure until you find the person that you can commit to for the rest of your life. And we say, that sounds extreme. I mean, who can do that? I mean, that just sounds weird. No, you just keep marching. You just keep going. You just keep putting one foot in front of the other. In other words, I want to say to somebody today, just shut up and march, all right? Just shut up and march. That's what God told the people. Don't talk about, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of in my life. Weren't we out here just yesterday and the day before and the day before and the day before? Doesn't this just seem senseless to you? No, shut up and march. Just shut up and obey God. Just trust God. Don't lean to your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge Him. And guess what? He will make your path straight. That's what you do. It's integrity over influence. So we live in a culture that loves, they're an influencer. No, I'll tell you what's better than influence is integrity. Just keep showing up, and the obedience will strengthen your heart. Here's the next one, teachability. Teachability. Proverbs 9:9 says, instruct the wise, and they'll be even wiser. Teach the righteous, and they will learn even more. So here's the dumbest person at Crossroads Church today. You ready for this? I'm going to point to him. No, I'm not. All right. But I'll tell you who it is. It's the person who can't be taught. I never want to get too old that I can't be taught, that I can't learn. And here's the thing, that what you got to be ready for, though, as God is trying to teach you, you got to be ready for Him to call you to things that are tougher than you are at the moment. But what God's trying to do is get you tougher. And so He knows if you'll just keep marching, if you'll just keep going around that seventh day and that seventh time around, guess what story you'll be telling your kids? You'll be telling your kids, I'm so glad I didn't quit. I'm so glad on day 5 we didn't say, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of in my life. I'm going home. I'm not going to do this any longer. No, instead, you got to be willing to pivot and do what God calls you to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, if you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. See, because if you think you're all that, and I'll just tell you, the Israelites fall right after this. Because there was at least one family that thought they knew as much as God. And God told us to do this, but I don't think that's that important. I think we can cut corners here, and they fell. When you're teachable, you can go forward. When you're not teachable, you become prideful. And the Bible says that's when you fall. So in other words, keep humble. Keep changing the diapers. Eventually, they won't need them anymore. Keep serving that boss that you don't really care for. Because in due season, God will take the integrity that you have built by keeping your mouth shut, and instead of talking about them, you talk to Him about them, and He will use that to promote you to where He wants you to go and where you really want to go. If you'll just keep on marching, keep on learning, keep on growing, your heart will get stronger. Just like on the treadmill, day after day after day, you just got to keep getting back on it. What's God put in your heart? For some of you, maybe he's put adoption on your heart. And you say, how can we afford that? How can we do it? I wish we could do that, but we can't do it. And you just discount it. No. Did God put it in your heart? Did God tell you to foster? Then he can make a way for it. Did God tell you, you need to go do that ministry? You need to, maybe speaking to somebody today, you need to go back there and teach those two-year-olds. And you're like, oh, get thee behind me, Satan, you know? that has to be the devil trying to do that. No. No, you go back there and you serve. Whatever it is, I don't know what it is, but what I do know is keep marching around the city and sooner or later the walls will fall. You just keep going. One more scripture and then I'm going to pray. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, because, here's how I keep marching. Because I know whom, everybody say whom, I have believed and am convinced, I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. I'll tell you what keeps me going is not that I know the why, but I know the who. I know the who. I know who's going to make a way even where there seems to be no way. Here in a few weeks, I'm going to talk to you about what God has for us as a church over the next several years. And you know what? That scares the life out of me. Because I can't control that. But it's not up to me to control it. It's up to me to trust him. And every time I take a step of faith, it makes my faith stronger. How about you? When you get anchored and begin trusting, listen, get heart strong, church. Don't be a quitter. Don't give up. In a culture full of quitters, full of cancelers, in a culture full of people who when it gets tough, they just quit and throw in the towel. No, in a culture like that, stand out all the more by being a faithful steward of God that one day will hear your master say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. You just kept marching. You just kept going. Let's pray. Father, I know that it gets tough sometimes, and there's times where we just feel like quitting. And God, I just pray for the person today that feels tempted to quit. I pray that you'll strengthen them, empower them. Maybe you're here today and you say, Craig, there's nothing I want more than to stand before God and hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. You just kept marching. You just kept going no matter what. You shook it off and stepped up. If you're here today and you say, Craig, I want to hear God say that. So every day, I want this year to be a year where I shake off anything the devil throws at me and I just keep stepping on and stepping up into all that God has for me. Is that your prayer? Will you just raise a hand all over this room today? Come on, church. Let's be a church that doesn't quit. God, we thank you that when you promise something, it's up to you to pull it off. All you require from us is faithfulness. To keep showing up, to keep marching forward. And so God, today, even though the seed's in the ground and it doesn't look like a harvest, Lord, we're just going to keep on watering it. We're just going to keep on trusting. We're just going to keep on fertilizing. We're just going to keep on moving toward you. And we know one day, just like you promised, a harvest will happen. Maybe others of you are here today. And maybe you did quit. Maybe you quit church. Maybe you quit God. Maybe God didn't do something that you wanted him to do when you wanted him to do it. But now today you realize I wasn't looking for God. I was looking for a genie. I wasn't looking for the God of the Bible. He never promised that this life would be easy, but he did promise he'd always be with me. And if you'd say here today, I want God with me in this next season of life, in the rest of 2025, I want God with me. And I need him in my life today. Would you just raise a hand all over this place? If that's you and you need God this year in your life, yeah, just hands all over this room. And while that's happening online, just type the word decided in the chat. If that's you, just say, I'm deciding to follow Jesus today. And we're going to be praying for you. Matter of fact, everybody pray this prayer after me right now to give boldness to those who raised a hand. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus. I believe through his death, he paid for all my sin. So today I bring you all of mine and ask you to wash it all away. I'm asking for a new start. From this day forward, as much as I know how, I surrender my life to you. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for coming into me through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, church, let's celebrate those who invited God into their lives today. Nothing better than that. Listen, here's some next steps that you can take right from where you are. You can just text those next steps, whichever one it is. And the beauty of being here in person today is you don't have to just text it. You can walk across this hallway over here to the Next Steps room, and someone would be glad to talk to you more about baptism or about Growth Track, which starts in the next service. And you can stay over and go to that. Or perhaps you want to go out and get connected today. And I know many of you need to get connected to our life group ministry. Listen, those connection cards are a way we pastor you better. Okay? When we know you're here, we know who you are, and when we know what's going on in your life. You put in a prayer request, or you say, hey, I want to do this, or I'm wanting to volunteer, or whatever that is. The other way that we care for you is by you getting in a group, because you need to be known, and others need to know you. And as you get in a group and you pray one for another, the Bible says when we pray one for another, we'll be healed. And we want you to be healed. We want you to live free. We want you to experience all God has for you. And the way that you do that is by getting in a group. And so if you're not in a group, don't leave here today without joining up with one of our life groups out in the hallway. All right, let's stand to our feet. Our prayer partners are going to come forward. If you have a prayer need of any kind, come to the altar today. Come down here to the front. Let somebody pray with you, pray for you, and offer prayer on your behalf. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the power of your Spirit that encourages us. Lord, I pray that any person who maybe walked in here ready to quit, that they will walk out with new strength, new power, new anointing to take another lap, to take another step, and to believe you in their lives. Holy Spirit, draw every person down who needs prayer today. And I pray that you will break every bondage, that you will set every captive free, that you'll do miracles here at this altar yet, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Make sure you invite somebody next week.